Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host. Each week, government executives and thought leaders join me for an informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. These individuals are truly changing the way government does business. This is a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, exploring the intersection between research and practice. What is data-driven design? What are some of the key challenges in this area? And how is government using data-driven design models? I'll explore these questions with Mark Fuge, Assistant Professor at the Department of Mechanical Engineering at the University of Maryland. So, Mark, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thank you for having me, Michael.
So, you know, this is a very different show. It is a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, exploring the intersection between research and practice. So what I'd like to do today, at least initially, is set some context. So perhaps you could tell us, what is big data?
Sure. So that's a term that people hear in the news all the time. It means different things to different people. So let's sit back in a second and talk about data in general. So people open up their Excel spreadsheet. They're looking at their quarterly statements. Everyone's kind of used to working with stuff in Excel. And that's what most people think of when they think of data. Or it could be transcripts from an interview you're doing or a book that you're reading. Big data just refers to cases where that's kind of difficult to do in one of many ways. So an example of this would be if I have a tractor, let's say, that has a sensor on it that's sensing, you know, where the tractor's going so I can manage my crops or something like that. I can't store all that in an Excel spreadsheet and use it, right? So that's a case where there's just a large amount of it, right? If I'm on an aircraft engine and I'm reading things in, I can't just kind of put that all in an Excel file and deal with it later. I have to do something right now about it. So that's a case where data's coming at me and I've got to make a decision right now about what to do. So when people talk about big data, they're usually referring to cases like that where there's lots of it, either that they have to store and process or that they have to kind of make decisions on as you go.
And as we continue with our conversation, folks will understand why it was necessary, as you well eloquently stated, to understand what data is and then volume, velocity, big data. Mm-hmm. It's important because the next question I have is perhaps you could define for us, what is design theory and methodology research?
Sure. So my work is in the area, the intersection between data and design, right? So
and when people— By design, what do you mean?
Just if yeah,
you can make
exactly.
sure you
yeah.
talk
so
about
Yeah. So I think
that.
When most people think about design, they'll think about two types of things. So they'll think designer jeans or designer handbags, right? So there they're thinking of a designer as a person, right? So there'll be some famous designers that they're familiar with. And these can be people like architects, right? So many people consider Frank Gehry to be a designer. Or people would think of design as a thing, you know, oh, that's a cool design of that car. Cars are cool design. Really, the way that I think about design is an activity. It's actually one of the most creative things that humans do. It's one of the things that makes us human, actually, is our ability to create things. It's kind of an act of creation. So when I think, when I talk about design, I'm talking about the person who's making that designer handbag or the person that's designing that car, they're going through a very creative process where they're basically making stuff from scratch. And design theory and methodology are basically a group of people that study how people do that and how to make them do it better.
That's excellent. So what are, getting to your reason for being here in the sweet spot of your portfolio, but what are data-driven models and how have these models, so we bring the big data, the data, and the design methodology together to create a data-driven model, how have they become increasingly common in design?
Sure. So I think when most people think about design, they think of some lone genius who sits in a room, right? And in many cases are like this, right? Where somebody kind of sits there and then they think really hard about how to solve a problem. And then they come up with something neat just through sort of sheer force and intellect or historical data, how people have done it previously. It's a very kind of artisan activity in that sense. But people are starting to realize that, you know, we're leaving a lot of stuff on the table by not looking at collecting data about what happens when we design something and put it into the world. So let's go to an example of, so actually I have a colleague at Illinois who works on tractors, stuff for tractors. So there's a case where someone would think really hard about how to make the tractor and they put it out in the field. And most of the time people might not do much after that. But if I have ways to kind of gather information about how what I made is actually working, that can get fed back to me. I can be a better human. I can do a better job of creating better tractors as a result of that.
Interesting. So what kinds of problems are, and it might be a hint at what you're referring to, but what kinds of problems are models like this useful, and how and when are design-driven models harmful or useful to advancing the theory and methodology of design?
The use of coupling kind of data with humans is interesting because in some sense, I feel like it's bringing kind of the best of both worlds. So humans are really great at being able to find connections between unlikely places, and data is great at allowing us to kind of see a big picture of data that we're collecting. But it's certainly not useful in all circumstances. So one area that it's useful is where there's a lot of information that you can gather about how people are using a product that can help you make it better. So the tractor example would be one. There's a colleague of mine at University of Buffalo who looks at how people use smart fridges. So would I design a fridge differently if the fridge could sense how I'm using it? So what items am I placing in there? What kind of things am I putting in? How long are they in there for? Maybe I would actually design the fridge differently. So that's an area where it would be beneficial. An area where I think, you know, you'd want to be careful is, or where it might be potentially harmful, would be a lot of the times these things learn models from behavior, but there's many sort of built-in biases in terms of people's behavior. So we've seen this a lot in the news for things like face recognition. So kind of a lot of fire for kind of learning biases inherent in the data. We wouldn't want our products necessarily to learn those. And so that's still an open question. People are still studying how to best do that.
Mm-hmm. So what does it entail for a given model or analysis to be data-driven compared to other approaches to studying design?
Sure. So traditionally, when people think about how I'm going to make a product, they would think about kind of physics and math, right? The stuff that most people kind of took in high school with the launching a, you know, a rocket or a ball through the air. So a lot of mechanical engineering and product design is involved in kind of understanding the physical world and then how can we change that physical world. And that comes from a lot of thinking about a problem. How do I decompose it? How do I write it down? Data-driven models are very different than that in the sense that there we're trying to look at signals in the world. So what's the tractor doing? What's the fridge doing? And trying to extract out a model kind of backwards from that. And so I think that what you find is that there's a lot of strength in doing both, right? So mechanical engineers or engineers in general or scientists are just generally really good at looking at the world and finding out some way of making sense of it by physics or chemistry or mathematics. And data is useful for basically taking the counterpoint to that and saying, okay, well, here's what I'm seeing in the world. Does your model make sense with respect to this data? Can it tell me something that maybe your existing model of the world didn't know? Is there sort of underlying things about how a fridge or tractor works that you wouldn't have gotten from your sitting down and thinking really hard about the physics and math?
What are some of the key challenges facing data-driven design? We'll explore this question and so much more when this special edition of the Business of Government Hour returns.